Good morning. And at this time, we're going to be continuing our series, Joy Even In. And today, we're going to be looking at serving. Serving is a topic a lot of people love. Serving is a topic a lot of people hate. And we're going to be looking at it. Last week, we began this series as Pastor Ray is away. And I'm Pastor Kevin filling in for him. So if you haven't met me, hi, nice to meet you. I'm Pastor Kevin. But while looking at the letter of the Philippians, the letter to the Philippians, last week we examined chapter 1, and this week we're going to be examining chapter 2. But last week we considered Paul's circumstances and how we are to live it through today, and we discussed this idea that believers are called to joy, even in the midst of suffering. And if you missed last week's message, I encourage you to look it up on our church website. It will be posted this week. But this morning, we'll be entering into Philippians chapter 2 as Paul continues to write to the Philippians. And what we see this morning, that in light of our series on joy, that believers are also called to joy even in serving. Now, when I think of serving, I can't help but to think of the restaurant Chick-fil-A. Has anybody in here never been to Chick-fil-A? Get that woman a chicken sandwich. For Christians, Chick-fil-A is the promised land. People literally brag about Chick-fil-A and how this is like angels who are serving them whenever they come into the restaurant. And I'm going to say this boldly. If you've ever had a bad experience at Chick-fil-A, you were probably sinning in Chick-fil-A. You see, one thing I admire about Chick-fil-A is that it's a Christian business. It's a Christian ministry. So if you want to go get lunch today, you can't. They're closed. It's their Sabbath. So they're honoring the Lord. But their goal is modeled after Matthew chapter 5, verse 41, where Jesus says, if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with them 2 miles. They call this, Chick-fil-A calls this, their second mile service. Second mile service, which means that they'll literally do anything they can to take their service to their guests to the next level, to the next mile, and they're willing to go that much further to bring service to their guests. You see, Chick-fil-A values service over anything else. And it is because they believe that they can be a light to people in their restaurant, lost people who come there for waffle fries, asking, and they believe they can be a light to these people and their restaurant. So you may think, well, every restaurant gives us service. Well, do they serve you joyfully? I'm pretty sure every single one of us in here has been to a restaurant where the server made us not want to tip them, but because we're Christians, we tip them, right? You see, as a former manager of Chick-fil-A, I can tell you there's a huge difference between serving and serving with joy. I've had employees who would serve with joy because it was their job, and I've had employees who would serve joyfully because it was their heart. You see, the dining room person had one goal in mind. Their one goal in mind was to serve everybody with such a joyful spirit that they would leave Chick-fil-A knowing that their day is much brighter because of the service they received. And the dining room person, they had to have like an extra blessing of joy, or else they could not be in that position. The dining room person would literally go to every single table, make sure that you are taken care of, ask, hey, do you need to refill your beverage? They would say, do you need me to wipe down anything, and take any trays away from you? And they would do it with so much joy. Now the thought comes back to us. As Christians, when we are serving, is there joy? Or do we completely avoid serving and miss out on that joy? Also, if you're serving with no joy, did you know that you're also taking joy away from others who are serving with you? You see, this morning we'll be looking at Philippians chapter 2, but first I want to glance over a few verses here that kind of gets the point across with this idea of serving. So in Colossians chapter 3, verse 23, Paul writes, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, not working for the Lord, not for human masters. And then in Psalms 100, verse 2, the writer says, worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. And what's unique about that passage is that that word worship is also another word for serving. So serving is actually a worship to God. You see, when we are faithfully serving, there's a true joy that only comes from the Lord. When we serve, there's many great things that also come to us. Blessings. I'm not talking about monetary gain or monetary blessings, but we are blessed. And I'm convinced that many Christians are being robbed of joy, and it's really caused by themselves because they're not serving. You see, when we are serving, there's an act of humility as we take the back seat. When we take the back seat, what we're doing is we're putting others before us. And I'm telling you, when that happens, there's a supernatural joy that comes to us. Too many folks are missing out on joy because serving is not in their heart. That doesn't mean we lose hope if serving is not in your heart, but I kind of want to challenge that today. I want to challenge the lack of servanthood in churches. Not just churches all around, but especially in our church as well. So I'm going to examine more truths about joy as we look at Philippians chapter 2. And my prayer this morning is that you would see the need of serving. That you would see the need in our own church body, in our own community, on how we can give back to the Lord. And my prayer is that as you're hearing this message, that the Holy Spirit will open your hearts and give you ideas where you could take your talent, where you could take your time, where you could take your treasures and serve the Lord with joy. We'll begin in Philippians chapter 2, verse 3 and 4, and Paul writes, "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourself, not looking to your own interest, but each of you to the interest of others." That's a hard pill to swallow. And the main point of today's message, and it's probably only going to be one point, is that humility transfers to joy. Humility transfers to joy. And I'm going to dig into this for you to understand it more clearly, but humility transfers to joy. And Paul comes after the Philippians here with very heavy words to basically consider yourself nothing. Everything you do, Paul says, should have a heart of humility, to where you're serving others selflessly and doing it for no personal gain. And it's important because we do live in a selfish world. We live in such a selfish world. When you are selfish, you do not sacrifice anything for anyone. Why? Because it's all surrounded about you. It's all about you. Everything is done for you. It's a me-centered mindset. And when you have this mindset, what you're saying, it's a selfish mindset, but it's also saying that nothing else matters. Nobody else matters. And I'm telling you, this is a very dangerous mindset to have. When you're selfish, you question, well, what's in it for me? You question, is there anything that I could gain from this? You see, when you're selfish, it holds you back from doing anything for other people. And it becomes all about what you can do or what you can gain through the selfish mindset. Selfishness is and can be a very sinful heart that could ultimately lead you to a broken heart, a lost heart, very far away from the Lord. When one is truly selfish, they eventually reach a point where they also feel very isolated. The way of life for the selfish person is actually contrary to what Paul is saying here in these verses. And I kind of want to just mention this baseball person, this professional baseball player that I've had the privilege to meet, Juan Pierre. He used to be a Marlins baseball player. And he would tell you, he's a believer now, praise God. But he would tell you that his entire professional career, he sought things selfishly. He did things selfishly until a point where he was by himself, isolated, broken, and lost. And he cried out to the Lord. And he started to serve. He started to give. He started to rid himself of everything. And Paul instructs in humility to consider others better than yourselves. You see, to consider is actually a mindset. To consider something is a mindset that you have. So to consider others' interests as more important than our own, what that does is it links us with Christ. It links us with Christ because Christ is a true example of servanthood. Not just servanthood, but humility. And we'll dig into that in a minute, but I'm convinced that when one is living in humility, it is an act of selflessness. I didn't say selfishness, I said selflessness. Selflessness brings further, truer joy, and selfishness brings forth a falser joy. I hope you understand the difference because last week I kind of explained this, but if you missed out, true joy only comes from the Lord. False joy only come from things that do not last, the things that we get and then they waste away. Consider others more significant than yourself is basically taking the back seat and focusing on others' needs. You see, this is a very humbling thing to do, saying that my needs right now are not important. My brothers and sisters in Christ, now their needs are much more important than my needs, and I have the ability to meet their needs and help serve their needs. That kind of humility will transfer into a joy when you're serving them. And I'm going to explain this through kind of like a little small testimony of mine. You guys know my story. I was taken in by a family who pretty much adopted me, and they became my only family today. This is a Bramos family. And they, whenever I read this verse, Philippians chapter 2, verse 3 and 4, whenever I read that verse, I even called my mom and told her, I was like, I think of you guys when I read this verse. You're the ones who come to my mind when I read this verse. Not that they perfected it, but they have instilled it into me and shown me a great epitome of it. Now understand, before I met this family, I had never known them. I lived 19 years in this world and I had never met them. They met me when I was at a form of a rock bottom. And I was rebellious, I was troubled, I was a heartless young man. And this family felt compassion for me and decided to serve me. Not that I was any different from anyone else, but because their heart was to selflessly serve. And after knowing them for some months, they decided to take me in. And I was facing a possible homelessness, and they felt compassion towards that. Not sure if you've ever taken a stranger into your home, but I can tell you this, it's straight humility. When I read these verses, like I said, I often think of them. And I moved into their house with an entire load of baggage, and they selflessly served me. I lived there for 5 years before I got married, and when I got married, that's when I moved out. But it didn't take me long to call them mom and dad, and them calling me son, and me being accepted as a brother by all the siblings. You see, they served me, considering my needs was way greater than their needs. They also realized that I have the ability to serve this young man, to transform his life with the power of the gospel, and I'm going to selflessly serve. And I can tell you this, that joy has been in their hearts, even through serving me, but also living there. I have been able to tell you, I could tell you many, many stories of how they have selflessly rid their home of themselves, opened their homes up. They literally live like this, where whatever comes in here, it out goes this way. My dad literally explains it like that. Whatever comes in here, it goes out that way. They selflessly serve. And I said that humility transfers to joy. And this is how this idea ties to serving. When you humbly serve, it transfers into a lasting joy that only comes from the Lord. You see, the Bramoses have seen the transformation in my life. And one thing I can absolutely be sure about is that they are so proud of me. Seeing where I am today brings them joy. Not to brag on myself, not to brag on them as a family, but to show you that when you are ridding yourself, when you are selflessly bringing yourself to humility to serve others, it brings you a joy. And when you get to serve others selflessly, you get to look back and be in awe at all the things that God has done in your life as you served others. When you sacrifice your time, when you sacrifice your energy, your efforts and your talents into something for the kingdom of God, you get to look back and see all the amazing things that God has done, and that brings you joy. You get to see how God has literally used you in your servanthood to transform and influence the lives of people around you. When you serve to the degree where you have this kind of influence and lives of other people are being touched and there's an imprint of your life in this individual's life, what happens is you get to see God working in them through you. And that brings us joy. What's unique about that also is when you see these great things happening through you, through God, through you, in your servanthood, it makes you want to do more. It gets you excited. It gets you pumped up. It's like, wow, what I just did, the little thing of opening the door for somebody, serve that individual, I want to do it again. I want to do it again. And I have seen this everywhere, even in the simple things in serving. You would be surprised as to how many lives you can change just by serving them with joy. You see, selfish people only look out for the interests of themselves, and that brings brokenness. But selfless people only look out for the interests of others, and that brings joy. And we continue reading in Paul's letter in verse 5. He says, in your relationship with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in the very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. You see, the greatest display of humility that this world has ever witnessed was the incarnation of Jesus Christ. Paul says that Jesus emptied himself by taking the form of a servant. Now, the word that Paul used there was not just a servant, like somebody who is just serving others. It actually is bondservant, which is similar to a slave. So check this out. Jesus went from God status to slave status. There's no greater humility that this world has ever seen going from God to slave. There's no greater humility that anybody else can ever do because Jesus is the only form of God in the human flesh. But there's a response. When you look at the greatest example of serving, who is Jesus Christ, there's a response. That us who have received Christ, there's a response that is a must from us to do. The question is, what are you going to do? Are you going to continue just attending church and not getting involved? Or are you going to humble yourself and serve the body of Christ that you're in? I know for sure that none of us in here are Jesus. And I'm happy for that. But that doesn't mean we cannot walk in his likeness. That doesn't mean we cannot practice what Jesus preaches. We were created to live a life that brings God glory and praise. That's what we learn in Psalms 100, verse 2. Having this mindset rolls into this idea that you have the privilege to serve. You have the privilege to serve. And last week I actually talked about joy and suffering expands the gospel. Joy in serving also expands the gospel. I mean, look at the gospel of Jesus and see what Paul's talking about right here. Jesus said in Mark 10:45, Jesus did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. You see, Paul in Philippians, he used that word, that Greek word, doulos, which is bondservant, which is slave. Now, this is actually more humbling than taking the position of a servant. You see, a servant was a hired person hired for a task to accomplish. A servant actually had certain rights. A slave, they had lower rights. They were owned by a master. And Jesus had no life of his own. There's no lower position that a person can occupy, but you have the Son of God occupying it. What would it look like if all of us in here had the mindset of a Christ to consider ourselves as a bondservant for our Father in heaven? I can tell you this for sure. We would all look a lot different. Our churches would look a lot different. Our communities would look a lot different. Our churches would have to beg for needs to be met. Our communities will have to beg for needs to be met. Churches will have to beg the congregation to step up and serve in the areas that are needed. There will be a whole lot more joy in the life of believers as they served others. And I'm convinced that more people would also receive Christ as their Savior because they're being served joyfully. There's many areas of needs for people to serve. And our church alone has great needs for people serving. The excuses that we often hear is, I don't have time to serve. I don't know what I'll do. I don't have any kind of special skills to contribute. They don't need me. These are all excuses. And I know in just the areas that I'm director over, there's great needs all across our church. I know many of you know this, many of you may not, but our Awana program, which our church dearly loves, it might be coming to a slamming halt next year where we cannot have Awana next year. Lack of serving. Our Impact Student Ministries, which is the youth ministry of this church, rapidly growing. I was telling somebody this year, alone since January, we've had 30 new visitors. Rapidly growing. We need young adult leaders to step up, to serve. Stepping Stones, our children's ministry of this church. We have young children coming here every single Sunday. You see the stage filled with these precious children. We have lack of serving in our children's church. These kids are hungry for the Word of God. They're hungry for to know and meet the Savior of this universe. And guess what? We have that privilege to meet that need of those children, that we can engage them. We can have an imprint in their hearts, in their lives. Now, trust me, I am not giving this sermon as a chance to win volunteers for people to help me in the areas I serve, which will be great. But that's not the point of this. These are just the areas that I oversee. There's many needs all across our church. We have needs in all of our Sunday school classes, our worship team, our choir, our greeters, our outreach, our security, our missions, our fellowship. Needs are everywhere. And I don't know how to stress this enough, but this is the heartbeat that Jesus had. This is the heartbeat that we all can have the privilege of having. There's no reason why we who follow Jesus should not have this heartbeat as well. Because when we serve and we see what God is doing through us, we get to see all the work that has happened through us, it brings us this joy. It brings us a joy. And I don't know about you, but when I see God using me to do something for his kingdom, I find significance in that. I find hope in that. I find a calling in that. That I am worthy enough, which I'm really not, for God to use me to serve his people. Not just does it bring joy, but we see the love of Jesus beginning to get brighter and brighter. And I want you to think about this truth of this statement here. If I was to black out this entire sanctuary, no light coming in, no light whatsoever coming in, if I was to black out everything and you guys were all still in here, and I asked you all to take out your phones, smartphones, flashlights, whatever you have, and I want everybody to turn your flashlights on, this place will be lighter than what you see up here. But if only one person takes out their flashlight and shines that light, this place will still be very dark. And I want you to think about that as we're serving. Your serving literally can shine the light of Jesus Christ. If all of us are shining our lights for Jesus, man, this church will be so bright. Which is interesting in my Bible because the next passage, it actually says, the shining as stars. To be shining as stars. Let's read in Philippians chapter 2, Verse 12, he says, therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. Do everything without grumbling and arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation. Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky, as you hold firmly to the word of life. And then I will be able to boast on the day of Christ that I did not run or labor in vain. But even if I am being poured out like a drink offering on the sacrifice and serving coming from your faith, I am glad and rejoice with all of you. So you too should be glad and rejoice with me. As I said, this is the heartbeat of Christian believers. To serve, not with complaint, not for selfish reasons, not for personal gain, not to say, look what I have done, and not as a job or a task, but to serve the Lord knowing that this is the greatest form of humility that you could take upon yourself. That humility as you serve the needs of others will bring a true joy that lasts forever. And I have served many people in my life. Again, not to brag on myself, but I have seen the many lives, I have had the privilege to see many lives transform because me being willing to be used by a vessel in God's hands. Of course, this is not my doing, because the only thing I bring to the cross is my sins. But by God's doing, by Jesus' doing. And I have used my life as a means to serve others, to see lives changed. We are to be shining as stars in our faith. And one way to do so is through serving selflessly. I love what Paul says in verse 17. He says, but even if I'm being poured out like a drink offering on the sacrifice and service coming from your faith, I am glad and rejoice with all of you. Even if I'm being poured out like a drink offering. The idea of this drink offering being poured out was an important part of our sacrifice or the Jewish sacrificial system. What Paul is saying here is that he's regarding his life as a sacrifice. Even if Paul had to die, Paul was content, knowing that he had helped the Philippians live for Christ. Get this. When you are totally committed to serving Christ, sacrificing to build faith of others brings a joyous reward. I'm going to say that again. When you are totally committed to serving Christ, sacrificing to build faith of others brings a joyous reward. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10 and 11, as we read this morning, says, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. Two simple thoughts as we begin to close and prepare for our communion. Peter makes it clear that we all have received our gifts for God's two purposes. God has given us two purposes why he has given us gifts. The first verse, or the first thought that we get from this is to simply to serve others. To simply to serve others. The second thought is to bring praise to God. To serve others and to bring praise to God. Serving is not about receiving glory, it's about God receiving glory. What legacy do you want to leave here in this life? One where people felt that you were often selfish? Or one where people praise God because of your selfless acts. God has gifted you with talent, with time, with treasure. And when you believe in the mission of something, you would give everything to that mission. Same thing with this church. If you believe in the mission of our church, of our community, you will give to the mission of that church and our community. And that is your time, your talents, and your treasures. Amen? Let's pray. Father God, we come before you humbly, knowing that you are a Father who absolutely loves us. You've given us time, you've given us talents, you've given us treasures, and God, I pray that we're using those obediently, that we're using those the way you want us to be using them. Because, Father, it is a privilege. Forgive us, Lord, for the areas that we have not been serving. Forgive us, Lord, for the areas that we have not been using the gifts that you've given us for your glory. But that doesn't mean it's too late, Father. I pray that you'll convict our hearts this morning, that as we continue to see you active in our life, that we get a new desire, a new hope that your psalm writers write, a new joy that comes when we serve, when we worship you, because worship is serving, and serving is worship. So, Father, as we leave with this mindset this morning, I pray that you'll prick our hearts in the areas where we can contribute our talents, our time, and our treasures for the advancement, Lord, of your gospel. Let us rid ourselves, pour us out, Lord, like a drink offering, that we can selflessly serve you, Jesus. We love you, Father. And Father, as we prepare for the communion table right before us, the Lord's table right before us, I pray you begin now to convict us of a sin. If there's any unconfessed sin in our heart, Lord, I pray that you'll prick us of that, that we may bring that before you, Jesus. Not that we deserve it, but it's that you love us. We love you, Lord. It's into your holy and precious name that we pray, Jesus. Amen.